My name is Maren Hinderly, and I'm a storyteller, and so are you. As I was saying before, stories are about as hard to find and tell as interesting sticks. But before I started to tell my own stories, I was going to be a ballerina. And my brilliant career actually began when I was 4 years old in Manitowoc, Wisconsin, where I went to my first ballet. Alicia Markova was dancing Swan Lake, and I was enthralled. This was magic indeed. I love music always, or at least for the half 6 months that I had heard it in between coming back from prison camp and going to the ballet. I'd been hearing a lot of music, but I had never seen dancing like this. And it was just so exciting. It looked like they were flying. And all evening long during the performance, my mother kept getting up and going out of the performance, but I didn't even notice because I was so excited about this ballet. Then at the very end of the ballet, father left to get the car, and mother said, "Come on, Mar, we have to go now." By the way, mother was 9 months pregnant with my next sister, Elise. And I said, "No, we don't. It's not over yet." She said, "Yes, it is. They're through dancing." "No. No, Mommy, they haven't turned the lights on yet, and they're still coming out, and they'll come out, watch." And sure enough, they did. And they bowed seven times, seven curtain calls. I would not leave. And my mother was in labor. But what was that to me? I was getting ready to launch my brilliant career as a ballerina. And finally, after the seventh curtain call, she received two bouquets of roses, bowed deeply and gracefully, and we were whisked off to the hospital, where mother was taken away on a wheelchair, waving and smiling bravely, and I smiled back, very pleased because I had my dad to myself that night. And in fact, we went to a snack bar, an all-night diner, had a malted milk, and over the malted milk, I looked at my dad and said, "Well, it's just me and you, Daddy." But that was the last time it was just me and you, Daddy, because by early morning, I had a baby sister named Elise, who made her presence known. And my dad fell in love with her. She was the baby he never had with me because we were separated in prison camp. But that's another story. My career as a ballerina continued through I think I was 10 years old, when I read a biography of Anna Pavlova and discovered that if you want to be a ballerina, you have to start at 7, they said in the book. And I was already 10, and I had only had one class of ballet in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. And there were no ballet teachers in Watertown, South Dakota at the time. So I was lost. I had to rearrange my vocational goals, and at that point I decided to be an actress. And I continued with this career plan all through high school and into college. And when I got to St. Olaf, I decided I needed to become more professional. So I left St. Olaf and I went to an acting school in New York City called the American Theater Wing. Now, all this time, I had some really good teachers. I had my Shakespeare teacher worked with Laurence Olivier, and Charles Laughton, and had come from the Ashland Shakespeare Festival. It was wonderful. And my experience in a stock that summer was with people that sometimes you'd even recognize, like Betty White. I played her maid. I went to her engagement party to Alan Ludden. I had cocktails with Tallulah Bankhead, and yet, in spite of all this experience and training, nobody ever taught me how to relax so that I could concentrate. And I suffered from stage fright. I was so scared that before I go on stage, I wish the floor would open up and swallow me. I'd sit there and say, why in the world did I ever say I'd do this? And then when I get on stage, gradually I forget and it would be okay. But it did hurt my concentration. I had to pretend that I wasn't scared. And all that pretending took away from concentrating on the real job of acting the part that I was there to do. I didn't learn how to relax so that I could concentrate until I was pregnant with my first child. And then I learned it from a nurse in a labor room. She taught me how to breathe. And from there I studied yoga. And after that, I started to take singing lessons. And a singing coach gave me a book, which I highly recommend to you, The Inner Game of Tennis. It's now for sale over in the... And this book is... In this book, he says, we already know what we need to know. It's just that we don't believe it. So it's really about trust. That's what the main condition for excellence is, trust. If you can learn to trust yourself, you will do excellently at what you are doing. But you have to let go of that little voice inside your head that's saying, you know, they're not going to get this. This isn't the kind of story anybody wants to hear. You're not, you haven't practiced enough, you know. All those little messages that make us feel small, inadequate, and scared. That voice has got to be stilled. And so how do we stop the judge? Well, again, by trusting the things that are already going right. And first of all is the breath. The breath is going right through us right now. We're all breathing, and we're not willing ourselves to breathe. It's something that's happening in spite of any distraction, anything we're paying attention to. Secondly, knowing how to align yourself and get into a position where you're really able to be balanced and centered. This is called neutral position. Those of you who took improv, noticed how Mariolette and Bob always move from neutral position. Many of you picked that up from them. And that will give you an authority and the capacity to make choices in the moment as you are talking about it, as things are happening. So, today we're going to start by doing some warm-ups for our stories. And the first step is to get into neutral. And after that, we're going to do a sound and movement game. that will connect all of us and help us to build a support system, an ensemble, a team. And the team is going to give us feedback on what we're doing. We always are positive with our feedback, because critical, negative feedback is not creative. It simply inhibits us and stops creativity. So we're going to always be positive about everything we say. If there's anything that isn't working, we probably know it already. And if we don't, it'll die from neglect. But you know what it's like when you say, I'm not going to be late. I'm not going to be late. You're late. But if you say, I'm going to be on time, you're more likely to be on time, right? So that's the principle we use for our feedback and evaluation of what we do. And are there any other questions before? Nah, you don't have any questions yet. Let's stand up, make a big circle, push the chairs back, and we're going to play a couple games here. Some of us know each other, some of us don't. We're going to get acquainted here with our sound and movement. So the first thing we're going to do is get your feet parallel in the circle and bend your knees a little bit, because that opens the base of your spine. These exercises will be somewhat similar to the improv exercises, except I'm going to concentrate a little bit more on voice here. Your voice is a marvelous instrument. And some people in our circle could tell us a lot more than I could about it. However, I can tell you this, that your voice doesn't start here in your larynx. And it doesn't even actually operate only from your diaphragm, which is below, but in your ribs and below your ribs. It is in your whole torso and even down to your toes. So make sure that your feet are parallel and your knees are bent, and close your eyes for a second, and let's just enjoy our breath for a few minutes here. The first few seconds, we're just going to enjoy the rhythm of the breath flowing in and out of our bodies. And feel that breath flowing in and out in a steady stream. Feel the temperature, the cool breath flowing in, the warm breath flowing out. And as the breath flows in and out, just allow your mind to rest with your breath. Feel that cool shower of relaxation floating all the way down to your toes. And then allow the warm release of tension as the warm breath rises. And then open your eyes for a minute and look at me. And the next step is this is an Alexandrian technique, which was developed by someone at the Juilliard School of Music. And the acting school was so impressed with this approach, they picked it up. Everything is directed by the breath. And with alignment, you don't have to use as much energy. So you can focus your energy where you want it to be. Now this technique is simply dropping your head between your knees and you can feel your back stretch out if your knees are bent. And you will achieve a lot more resonance in your voice that way. Now as you exhale, yawn. Hello. Hello. Hi. 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 Hi.
And then as you exhale, exhale through your nose. And make a tone. And as you exhale, exhale through your mouth. Hello. Hi. How are you? I'm so glad you called. Hi. This is Jackie Kennedy. This is Marilyn Monroe.
This is KXOLIV, the top 100 just for you. Ho, ho, ho.
The chest voice, that DJ voice, that kind of sexy voice. Okay, and then as you exhale again, bring yourself up from your toes through your knees, keeping your head and shoulders down, and let your whole self come up. Your shoulders drop and your head is the last thing to rise. It's kind of floating up there, sort of like a bubble, right? Feeling a little dizzy. You have increased your circulation. And that, of course, stimulates your brain and gets you a little bit, I hope, waked up. Okay, now we're going to do just an easy stretch, some easy stretches. Let's just pick the apples off the tree. Oh, good. Okay. And then let's move your shoulders back and forth. Oh, that's great. And then how about twisting from here, forward and back. Ah, yes. And then drop your arms and drop your chin to your chest. And let's do some head rolls. Nice and easy, just around and down. Inhale as you start and exhale as you finish your head roll. Do it about 3 times in both directions. Oh, that feels so good, doesn't it? Now let's make a turtle. You've seen characters like this walking around. We do it a lot in the winter in Minnesota. Okay, let's go the other way.
Very interesting characters.
All right. Drop your shoulders, relax your head. And let your head move just slightly toward one shoulder. Bring it back to center. Then to the other shoulder. Bring it back to center. Whenever you feel uneasy or you don't know exactly what to do next, return to center. Then if you are moving out of center, you are always looking like you know what you're doing, even if you don't. Let's do some stretches with our feet. First, let's pretend that you have a grapefruit right there, and let's squeeze the grapefruit. Good. And let's squeeze the other grapefruit. Oh, you kind of have to do both sides, or otherwise you end up getting stretched on one side. And then you're not balanced anymore. All right, now inhale and just rotate from your ankle. One side, put it down again. Inhale, rotate. That's right, draw it. Pretend it's a big pencil and you're drawing a circle in the air there. Okay, and put it down. Inhale, and as you exhale, draw from your knee. Good, and back down. Inhale, and as you exhale, do the other side. Good, bring it down. Now from your hip.
Oh,
other leg. Good, a good way to just feel your connection to the earth, and that back down again. Right now we're going to shake it a little. Just shake a little from your ankle, a little from your knee, and then kick it out, kick it out, kick it out, and bring it back down. And likewise in this way. And just go as far as you want to with these exercises. And kick it out, kick it out, kick it out. That's it. Ah, you just made what do they call those in football? It went through the goalpost. You made a field goal. Okay, now you should be feeling a little bit more warmed up. Now, I'd like to demonstrate to you something that happens when people stand up in front of other people. They say that Americans are not as afraid of dying as they are speaking in public. And so when you get up in front of somebody to talk, or somebody's, and you let that little judge control you, maybe this is what you're saying. What did I say?
Fear.
I was scared. What? What else? I wish I wasn't here.
Oh, get me away.
I might get sick. Right. I didn't have to open my mouth and tell you this, did I? I was telling you this with every move I was making. Now, if I were going to start telling stories in this circle, I could tell a story about each one of you simply by the way you're standing. Because we all reveal something about ourselves in the way we hold our bodies. And that isn't wrong at all. The only thing is that when we're telling stories or acting, we want to be aware of this. Because then we're making a choice. That's part of the choice that we make in terms of what we're communicating to other people. And it just makes you feel a lot more self-confident if you know how to get into a position where people really don't know where you're coming from. You just look, well, let's get into neutral again. And you tell me, what am I projecting to you?
But you know what you're talking about.
I have authority. I don't have to try. And that is true authority, is when you can just be there. You know what you're going to do. No, you don't. But I know what you're going to do. Because now we're going to play a game called the Fun House at the State Fair. And just need to back up a little bit, Laurel, so that you're in the same dimension. And you are going to be the mirrors, and I am the actor. And I'm coming into this fun house with a bit of an agenda, a bit of a story to tell. And you're going to reflect everything I do, including the things I say. Ah, oh, he's already started. He's all done. There was one other thing I wanted to do, but I guess I'm going to skip it because I want to see. Yeah, I'm going to skip it. We'll get to know each other's names at a different point in the class. Honestly, we will. I promise. Cross my heart. All right. So when I turn around, I'll be there. And you'll be ready to go. You do exactly what I do. Nabada Baga. Nashiva. Tadada Baki. Asha. La da da da.
Choo-choo.
Akata.
Oh,
Blah, blah, blah. You know all the kind of talk you do when you listen to babies and talk to babies. The kind of talk that you think you're hearing when you hear certain kinds of rock and roll songs and you can't understand a word they're saying. It sounds like gibberish, right? It's a foreign language. A language no one has ever bothered to really understand. There's no real vocabulary, in other words, except the one you're making up. Okay, so just any sound that comes into your head and you say it to your partner. Number two, start, and number one, reflect. Then I'll say change, and you just pick it up. Now we'll demonstrate, my partner and I.
Say the same thing before.
Yeah, so, okay, who wants to, and I'll time it. Can somebody time it and time it again? It'll be like 5 seconds. Okay, and you say change, yeah. And then you'll be the actor and I'll be the mirror. But it should be so easy that the transition that we don't even know, it'll be hard for us to figure out who's acting and who's, okay. Tisha. Change. 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 Got the idea, right? Okay, so you just go back and forth that way. And I'll just keep saying change, change, change. It's going to be a little hard for you because I have to say change all the time. Okay? All right? Try it. By the way, go a little slower than we did at first. It's easier if you go a little bit slowly at first.
The two say it and the ones?
The two start, the ones reflect. Okay. Demonstrating how you work together.
Who's lead?
Whichever one, the two. Two started.
Okay, all right.
Go ahead.
Change.
Come on, change. Change, I'm sorry. You're see what you have. Come on, Mal, come on.
I had nothing.
Oh, yeah, I had nothing.
Oh, come on, give up.
Okay.
Don't give up.
Go for it.
Bongo.
Change. Change. That was very, very good. Excellent. All right. The next, these are listening exercises, which are warming up to our final piece, which is going to be a little story. But this one is called mind reading. And you all know people who are so careful and deliberate about the way they talk and what they say that you could almost read their
mind.
Exactly. And you could certainly say everything they are saying, couldn't you? Now, the trick to this game is twofold. You talk slowly and you try to pick a subject you're both somewhat familiar with, so that when the leader speaks, the follower can catch on and say it with you. So you are speaking in unison. That's your goal. You want to talk as if you are one voice. Now, let's pick new partners. And what I'd like is to see, everybody, just, I'm going to trust you. Just pick a new partner. Find a new partner.
Hi. All right.
Right there.
Okay, here, good.
Okay. All right, now this is going to be a little bit longer before the change. Did you find a partner?
No, I'm not, because it's going to be too
slowly. We talk so slowly, dear. Okay. Wait a minute. Where's the other? Oh, there's Wes. He needs a partner.
Wes.
Will. Will needs a partner.
Yes.
Ellen. Will. Okay.
Hello.
I see he's already started. Okay, here we go. Ready, set, go. Yeah, and say it as they're saying it, so you sound like you have one voice. Now, the next step is to listen to a very short story that your partner tells you. And now I want you to listen with a couple of things going on while your partner is telling this to you. I want you to listen with your eyes as well as your ears, so that you are noting how your partner is holding their body, where their focus is, where they're looking, if they have any kind of a vocal characteristic. Maybe they use a lot of breath. Or maybe they use more nasal tone. Or maybe they're more in their head voice. Whatever. Try to note this, because you are going to tell this story back to your partner as if you are the partner. And you may exaggerate a little bit.
Demonstration.
A demonstration. All right. Well, I'm not going to take that long, but I'll do a short demonstration. Or would you like to just tell me that very short story about going out of a church service after a bad sermon? Tell me that story that you gave, and I'll try to pick it up from you. That was such a good story. Okay, and your phrase especially was good.
What story was that again?
Remember you you told me that story. You said after a bad sermon.
After a bad sermon, you come out and you say to the pastor, "You are charismatically challenged."
Right. Okay, now I'll do it. After a bad sermon, you come out and you say to the pastor, "You are charismatically challenged." This is in the context of a little longer story, which I want all of you to tell too. A longer story, meaning a minute and a half. You'll each have a minute and a half to tell your story. So we're going to take about, with our partners, we're going to take about 5 minutes in all to tell our stories back and forth. And I'm going to ask you to just find a comfortable place. I think we'll keep the part will be easier. And we'll tell our story. And then I'll give you time, and then you can tell it back, and then after that start your other one. If your partner has a watch, your partner can time you. But otherwise I'll try to keep track. No, it's good. And the point here is that our lives are stories, you know, and you're sharing something of value when you tell a story to us. So in advance, I'm going to thank you. And then I'm going to tell you what this is for. This is to give you permission to speak. It helps to know that we're all in agreement that we want to hear you. And that's what the story stick indicates. So you don't have to hold it, but you can pick it up and put it back down here if you don't want to hold it while you're telling it. And your partner's going to sit here and support everything you do, whether it is telling their story or telling your own story. Now, who wants to start?
Me.
Yay! I'm so glad. People are so eager. All right, come on up. Where's your partner?
Right there, but I want to tell my own story.
Yes. Well, that's fine, but she's coming up.
Okay, right? Where are I going?
You're going to hold the you hold it and you stand behind your partner.
I got to stand behind my
partner. Sits here and you introduce yourself. You say, "Hi, my name is," and then you tell the story. Okay, and if you tell your partner's story, you tell it as if you are your partner. But if you're telling your own story, of course you're going to tell it as if you are you. Yes.
What if this is my real story?
That's fine.
Okay.
You
were like
you
saying it as you, because, but it's from a different point of view.
Okay, that's fine. You do it as if you are that person.
Okay, we've agreed that we're going to tell our own stories.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my name is Pat. What else would I just say?
Just start your story.
Okay, I came here in April for alumni week and spent about 6 days here. And there were two gentlemen. Well, first of all, I got to tell you how we got here. The bus met us at the lake, and we met the bombardier in the middle of the road. And there were about 8 or 9 of us that were coming. And little did we know that when we got to the bombardier, we all crawled in there, we were all cozy, and little did we know that we were going to be on a ride, like a carnival ride. And as we were going up the hill, when we got to a mile out of the village, the track broke off the bombardier. And Kevin said, well, guess what, guys? Well, we don't know what we're going to do. Well, by this time, it was probably 2:30, quarter to 3, thereabouts, in the afternoon. And Kevin decided that we were going to have to walk. So we walked a mile into the village, all haggard out and all tired and all hungry. And it was quite an experience because at that time there were 3 people that I knew that kept encouraging me to go on. But anyway, this is the beginning of the story. The story goes on that Lloyd, my friend, wasn't able to follow the Vesper services real well. But anyway, I taught him, and I befriended him. And along the way, we decided we would go for a walk. And then Lyle came the next day, went on the walk with us, and we went to explore some avalanche damage, which was behind the chalets. We walked up, and little did I know that it was going to be very difficult walking in snow, and it was going to be very hard. And we went about, it was supposed to be 20 minutes. But we got to where we were going to go with much struggling, and we were walking along, and every once in a while there'd be soft snow, and all of a sudden your foot would go up, and the snow would come up to here. Yes. Guess who kept falling? Yours truly. Well, we got to where we were going to go, and Lyle just decided that he would go out into the open field and take pictures. Well, we came down, when we were coming down, sort of a hilly area, we came down. We were still slipping and sliding late in the afternoon, and I slipped and fell, and I did a somersault and fell into a tree. I had a brand new camera with me, and I turned around and I looked, and he had fallen. So I tossed my camera to him and I said, take a picture for me, and we took pictures together. And we came back down to the village in time for the late afternoon meal, and I was soaking wet, and thus ends my story. We had a good time.